Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 1 of the study of 2 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2 Kings 22, 1 through 10. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray on Mondays for the nation of Russia. Lord, I ask that you would raise up laborers, missionaries, to go into the harvest field of Russia. Lord, I ask for foreign missionaries and domestic believers in Russia to share the gospel, the good news about Jesus there. Lord, would you bring revival and awakening, God? We ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to descend on that nation and bring them freedom from the bondages of sin and death. And Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Kings chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Now, I love right here, Josiah is a young man. He's only 8, but he is going to faithfully serve the Lord his entire life. And it didn't take some priest kind of looking over him. This young man from a young age has got his heart set on the Lord. He's not come from the greatest of stock, even though his great-grandfather Hezekiah was a good man. Maybe somewhere along the way, he saw how his great-grandfather, whom he probably wasn't that far removed from, he either saw or he heard about how he had lived and decided he'd rather live like him than his father or his grandfather Manasseh. And so he's chosen a different way from a young age, and he's going to walk that out his entire life. And Josiah is going to be the pinnacle of what the good kings of Israel could be. And any time, you know, that there was a good king, they were always compared to David. And he's called, you know, the son of David. This David was his father. He walked in David's ways. He was a descendant of David, but he was a spiritual son of David, in that his heart was completely turned to the Lord. It doesn't mean that Josiah was a perfect person. He sinned just like anybody else, but his heart was turned completely toward the Lord. And what that looks like is when sin comes on a person, and the bondage of shame and guilt weighs them down, instead of running away from God and hiding, which is human nature from the fall of man, from the days of Adam and Eve, it's in our nature to run away and hide and then grow further and further away from the Lord as sin gets more and more of a grip and a hold on us. The righteous like David and Josiah and these men, when they sin, they turn their hearts immediately back to the Lord and they run back to him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, knowing that he forgives, knowing that he loves, going back in a spirit of repentance. Perfection in the Bible and righteousness in the Bible is not someone who never sins. We saw David's life and he's called righteous. He is the bar that was set that everyone else, all these other kings, have to measure up to. And we saw all the flaws in David's life. Josiah was not a perfect man. Josiah has had a heart after David's, a spirit like David's, in that any time he fell short, he ran back to God instead of running away from God. Verse 3, in the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azalah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah the priest and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people." So obviously, the temple has fallen into disrepair again, and there were all sorts of unspeakable things in previous generations going on in the temple. And so Josiah has decided, after his kingdom's been established and he's gotten some years under him, that he started to take up a collection to renovate the temple and rebuild it and bring it back It was probably falling down on itself. And so he's going to do some repairs and renovations. And he's telling them to get all of this stuff ready. It's time to start. Verse 5, have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings. Verse 8, Hilkiah the priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Now, isn't that amazing? The high priest went into the temple when they're cleaning the thing out, getting it ready to renovate it. And Hilkiah, the high priest, goes in and he found basically the Bible. He found the book of the law, the first five books of the Bible, which is at this point what exists. That's the Bible they had at this point. And he goes in and he finds it. Imagine that. There are no copies of this floating around. If they are, they're hidden, they're lost. Imagine the treasure this must have been. Imagine, understand how sad this is, that this nation that is defined by this one true God, who has related to them the words of the law here, that David said he delighted in day and night, this same book, these same words, they've been gone. They've been missing. It begs the question, what were the priests doing? What did the high priest do? How did he know what to do, except that there was some kind of verbal communication passed down from generation to generation? And, you know, we've all played the telephone game. We know how that goes. So how was this working? How are they doing this? This is, at the same time, a very sad commentary on what the last several hundred years or maybe generation has looked like, maybe the last 60 years, but also a very joyous occasion that the word of the Lord, the written word of the Lord, is being returned to the people. This is a monumental occasion, and it's going to have amazing consequences in the nation of Judah and Israel. Verse 9, then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. We're going to stop there and pick that up tomorrow. I encourage you, if you haven't been, I encourage you to read through the books that we're going through 1 week, read the book every week for 10 weeks. That way you've read it 10 times. So in 2 Kings, read the book of 2 Kings every week for 10 weeks, and you'll have read the entire book of 2 Kings 10 times. Now it may seem like a lot, but I have outlines online where you can read just a little bit a day and get through it every week. It's really not that much reading. And if you're driving in the car and listening to this podcast, you can also have the Bible app on your mobile phone read the same passages to you. It's really, there's so many easy ways to accomplish this now. And there's really no difference between reading the Bible or having it read to you, so long as you're hearing it. There's actually benefits of either way. And I do both at different times. Like this morning I was jogging and I was having it read to me as I jogged. There's all sorts of wonderful ways to do this, but I encourage you, read these passages, these books 10 times in 10 weeks, and the Lord will open your eyes to so many things. Imagine if the Bible in your life was just discovered. You had just found out that you discovered the words of God written in a book, just like these people right here. What would you want to do with it? Would you want to read just a couple of snippets and put it away and maybe next month read a little bit more? No, you'd want to devour it. You'd want to read it over and over and over again. So I encourage you, these are the very words of God written on a page. How many philosophers have said through the years, wouldn't it just be nice if God or the gods, if they were pagan philosophers, if they would just write down what they want? if they would just write down what they were like. And right here, we have that very thing that the Lord has written his words on paper for us to set our eyes on and read, or have it read to us and listen to. How powerful is that? I encourage you, don't waste the opportunity that you have to be able to read God's word or hear God's word anytime you want. I encourage you, read through it. This is an enormously monumental day in the history of Judah right here, and it's going to have amazing consequences that are going to come after this. I pray that as we read through this, it will strike your heart. I want it to strike mine even more. The value and the precious gem that is the Word of God, the living, breathing Word of God that we have before us. May we never take it for granted like these previous generations did here in 2 Kings. So I encourage you, read through it. Read through it over and over and over again. You'll get it in you. You'll meditate on it. You'll think about it. It will fill your heart and fill your mind throughout the day. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. You can also share this podcast with friends by sending them an email or forwarding it to them or posting on Facebook. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.